590 WKZO time is 309, 34 degrees, and that rain changing to snow, that's past tense. The rain has changed to snow, and we've already had our first traffic incident. Give us the details, Michael.
There's been an accident on westbound I-94 between exits 86 and 87. The accident is in the right-hand lane. The left-hand lane is getting through, but very slowly.
And where exactly is that?
Between exit 86 and 87, that's near Galesburg.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And if you see anything happening out there, it'll be more difficult because it's snowing. 382-4280-877, 382-4280. You know, we were going to get snow at some point, and it's just starting at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. That's what AccuWeather predicted, and sure enough, that's when it changed. We'll talk to AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson coming up at 3:40, and we'll find out just how much snow we're going to get. Is it going to be more than the inch they talked about? And how much more snow will we get tonight? Well, joining me now is Pastor Ira G. Edwards. He is the pastor at Damascus Holy Life Baptist Church in Flint, and he will be in Kalamazoo tomorrow on a bus tour. Pastor, how you doing this afternoon?
Great. How about you?
I'm just fine. And the reason you're on this bus tour in winterish weather is because?
This is a bus tour to deal with Reinvest Express, we call it. It's a statewide effort to reprioritize Michigan's budget. And this reinvestment, we feel, needs to be centered towards our youth, our cities, and our families. And we're seeing that the present government is taking money out of the families and putting it into businesses, giving them tax breaks and doing things that have not been beneficial to the state.
And why do you think they've been doing that? What's the mindset that led to the decisions that you're talking about?
Well, part of the problem has been finances. One of the things that has happened is that they've taken the earned income tax credit, which is federal funding, and reduced that from 20% down to 6%. You and I both know low-income, middle-income people get earned income tax credit back. They do not put it in the bank. They spend it, thereby helping the economy to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're dealing with in-school suspension versus people being suspended out of school. The child comes in with the wrong colored belt on and they suspend him. They're not just out of the class that he was in or class he acts up in, but just suspend him. In some cities, we have 10,000 students and 11,000 suspension, which is a ridiculous thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Michigan has four of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the nation. And as the revenue sharing, which is another thing that we're fighting for, is a revenue sharing being put back, is that the money comes out of the cities and goes to the coffers in the state. And it's been showing going up rapidly every year, but yet the ones for the city is going down. And as they go down, the first ones to be laid off is the police and firemen, because those are the biggest money things that come out of the city. And as you can tell, now we're at the crime going up all over the state here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get that put back to good areas where it needs to be done. And we're going to be having our bus tour rally. It's going to be in six cities. It's going to be tomorrow morning. It's going to start from 8 to 9:30. It's going to be at St. Andrew's Cathedral in Grand Rapids. And at 11 a.m. it'll be in Kalamazoo at the Bronson Park on Rose Street.
Mm-hmm.
at 12:30. We'll be at 11. Also, we can leave there and go to Battle Creek at the Trinity Lutheran Church. And then from there, they'll be in Detroit for a rally at 6:45 to 8:30 at the Hope United Methodist Church. And then on Wednesday morning, we'll be in Flint at 9:30 for a rally at the Catholic Charities Center for Hope, where we will have as our guest speaker Professor David Kennedy, who is the author of The Ceasefire, which is one of the things that we're trying to get the governor to fund $3.5 million for a statewide ceasefire initiative. Ceasefire has been proven in over 47 cities to reduce violent crimes by 25 to 70%. So we think it's a worthwhile investment for $3.5 million for the whole state.
Can we talk about that for a second before we get to the conclusion of your tour?
Yes.
This program, where has it been used and how is it that successful?
It started out in Boston and it's used in 47. Part of it is there's a stick and a carrot approach, and before the people are actually becoming violent criminals, they are brought in, they're confronted with their past that they have. There's warrants available. All that has to be done is signed by the judge, but they're given a chance to change their ways. And they're saying, as of tonight, you can either take our help, which is what we try to do, is give them education if they need it, give them clothing, give them home, give them training for a job, but they have to stop doing what it is they're doing. And that night, and if they do not, then we sign a warrant and arrest them. If they do, they go through the program and we give them that help they need to get it. So it's been very effective.
Yeah, yeah. And $3.5 million is enough to bring that program to the entire state?
Yes, it has been done in Connecticut and New York. And so that is the figures that we've gotten from John Jay College, which is what the ones that set it up in New York and Connecticut. So we're thinking that it's going to be very beneficial for us. We first got involved in it in San Francisco, and about 4 years ago, we brought part of it to Flint, and we've seen a reduction in crime, even though it hasn't shown up yet this year because of the fact that the numbers haven't showed up, but it has shown a reduction in just about all violent crimes across the city.
Mm-hmm. And it's proven to work because you're not inventing this. It's already been done in other places. And your initial experience in Flint is positive.
Yes, it is. And so we're seeing some improvements in Flint. But bear in mind, we have not had the money to do it. We've been doing it with volunteers. People have been meeting at the lunch hours. And we have the police. We have the college police. We have the city police, we have Michigan State Police, who have been a great help in this because of the fact that Flint now had reduced their police force by over 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the worst city in the nation for a violent crime, the last thing you want to do is reduce your police force by a third.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you've brought up crime. I read an article, this is several weeks ago, that talked about the most common item shoplifted in Walmart stores: baby formula. And a lot of crime is also related to people who are in desperate economic times, and crime seems to be the only approach to deal with that situation. Go ahead.
Yes, that is the problem, and the thing is that when you look at it, people will do a lot of things that you never would suspect to feed their children.
Yeah.
And having this problem with money being taken out. Even the seniors now are being taxed with their retirement is being taxed. And so it's a lot of investment. A lot of the programs that were out there to help people have been cut because of this revenue sharing and because of other things that are going on.
Sure. We're talking with Pastor Ira Edwards of Flint. He's from the Damascus Holy Life Baptist Church. So let's get to the end of this bus tour, and that takes you to Lansing on Wednesday, correct?
Yes, at 1 o'clock we'll be meeting in Lansing, and I must clarify, it's in collaboration with the Harriet Tubman Center, where we started the statewide organizing, and I'm the president of the Michigan Organizing Collaborative and one of the co-chairs of Flint Area Congregations Together, which will be holding the rally in Flint. In Lansing, it'll be the Michigan League for Public Policy and the MICA Center in Grand Rapids and Creating Change in Battle Creek and Isaac in Kalamazoo. So it's not just Flint. It's all statewide. So, but we'll be climaxing at in Lansing at 1 o'clock with a news conference, and we'll be having a rally. We're looking to see 3,000 to 4,000 people there prayerfully, and then we'll be dispersing from there and going to speak with our representative and Senate people.
And when you're in Kalamazoo tomorrow, what time exactly does the rally begin?
11 a.m. to 12:30.
Right downtown in Bronson Park?
Yes.
And who's your target audience? Who would you like to have attend?
I would like anyone that have an interest in making things better to be there, whether that be police, city officials, Joe Blow down the street, or Joe the Plumber, as they used to say.
Yeah.
Anyone that has an eye to make things better, that's just sick and tired of the way things are going.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to become involved, there's a website that you can go on to. www.tugmanorganizing.org/reinvest.
Could you give that one more time?
www.tugmanorganizing.org/reinvest.
All right.
Be two buses going from each all the cities throughout, and climaxing in Lansing, and we're planning to hope to have a big rally there. We're looking to have at least 300 to 400 people at each stop with the bus.
Yeah, well, good luck. I hope you brought along some warm clothes for this trip, seeing the weather has changed abruptly here. And thanks for doing the good work you do. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon.
It's not just myself. It's all of it. It's United from Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
From the UP all the way down.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That was Pastor Ira G. Edwards from the Damascus Holy Life Baptist Church in Flint, and going through a number of cities on the way to talk to the legislature in Lansing about, as he said, making things better. We have additional traffic updates. I'm taking it, Michael.
Yeah, caller updated me on the situation on westbound I-94. The left lane is now closed at mile marker 86, but traffic is getting through the right lane, but very slowly, and traffic is now backed up between exits 80 and 85.
Wow, that's quite a backup. Well, thanks for the update. If you see something people should know about, Michael's at the ready, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. We're still above freezing, so the snow is not making roads slippery yet. That doesn't mean there isn't an accident Galesburg way. But as the evening wears on, especially with a predicted low of 24, it is going to freeze. And the first place that will freeze will be the bridges. I know we leave those bridges ice up first signs up all year long. But this is when you really need to pay attention to that sign, and be a little careful on your way home, because the weather is changing here, and right on the money, as was predicted. 3 o'clock, the snow started. Hey, saw in the news this morning, the United States Postal Service is going to start delivering Amazon packages on Sundays. It's also trying to make similar deals with other retailers, and this is an easy way to take business back from UPS and FedEx, because they won't deliver on Sundays. Package delivery is profitable for the post office, and it'll bring in additional revenue as they struggle financially. Meanwhile, USPS has been trying to end its Saturday delivery for mail amid its financial troubles. That was supposed to help it avoid bankruptcy, but Congress rejected its proposal to move to a 5-day delivery back in March. Postal Service officials say cutting Saturday delivery would have saved it $2 billion this year, while USPS has seen first-class mail, its main source of revenue, decline. That was down to about 69 billion pieces of mail last year, down from 92 billion in 2008. And, of course, Congress made a bad situation worse when they required the post office to pre-fund 75 years of employee benefits. No other institution in the government has to do that. The Republicans were apparently trying to force the post office into cutting out, well, at least cutting the amount of money they spent. But this new project will bring, just in time for Christmas, Sunday delivery of your Amazon packages. And it'll be available to people who are Amazon Prime members. So that's where you pay, I believe it's a one-time $79 a month fee, and then you get expedited delivery of your packages. And beginning in a number of cities in time for Christmas this year, we're going to see the USPS truck pull up in front of your house with a Christmas package.
CBS News Update. I'm Harley Carr.
Well, we've got 33 degrees, and in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Bob Larson, and I have a bone to pick with him. The prediction was that snow would start at 3 o'clock, and our news department timed the snow at 2:40. And so the AccuWeather forecast was inaccurate by at least 20 minutes, Bob. Oh.
One more button. At the airport, it changed over to snow at 3:23.
But here at the studios, and that's what counts, Bob.
That's true.
It was 20 minutes before the AccuWeather prediction.
We're going to have to do better next time.
Yeah.
20 whole minutes.
Yeah, Yeah. I am just teasing.
I understand.
It's pretty amazing how on things you are with this weather forecasting stuff.
This particular system is kind of telegraphed for a while. We talked about it a little bit at the end of last week about how things would be changing come Monday, and the change is here. Now, as we speak, there's some areas, the southern part of our listening area, coverage area right now, where it is still raining.
Ah, okay.
But it won't be for much longer. The rain changeover, the rain to snow changeover is going north to south, and all areas will see the snow when it's all said and done. But fortunately, this is not a wide band of precipitation. It's not a long-lasting storm. It's about 6 hours worth of precipitation. The rain started noonish or shortly thereabouts, you know, give or take 10 minutes. And I think between 6 and 7 o'clock this evening, the snow will be winding down.
All right. But it is melting because at this point it's still a couple of degrees above freezing. But tonight's low of 24, I see some ice problems in our future.
Yeah, that's the concern. First off, the snow has been melting to this point, although it is accumulating a little bit on some grassy areas, on some trees, and on the tops of cars a little bit. But the roads, the sidewalks are just wet at this point. The ground is warm. The air temperature is above freezing. But notice the drop in temperature that there has been over the past few hours, and that drop continues, and as you mentioned, projecting an overnight low of 24. So what is currently wet will soon become slushy, then snow-covered, and I'm concerned that things can get really slippery as soon as early this evening. The 24 is not going to occur till overnight, but we will be below 32 here in just a couple of hours, and we don't need it to be 24 for it to be slippery. 30 and snow is a bad combination, and that's what we might be faced with here late this afternoon and the first thing this evening. The snow itself, I'm not so much concerned about the accumulation number. It's about an inch or so. It's the combination of the snow and falling temperatures and the creating ice that I'm concerned about.
Sure.
For traveling. Long after the snow stops, talked about it stopping between six and seven, long after it stops, the problems can continue because of all the residual moisture and at that point slush that'll be on the ground. So, you know, it can become quite icy as we go through the night.
And, of course, it's bridges that freeze first.
That's right.
And so how long is this cold weather going to be with us, Bob?
Well, it's not a particularly long-lasting cold snap. And with something else we touched on last week, whenever we get a cold snap, we often have to wonder about lake effect snow. But the wind gradient tomorrow is more northerly than it is westerly. So I'm expecting a very narrow band of lake effect snow over Berrien County, southward to about Porter County, Indiana. And maybe westernmost Van Buren and Cass counties can pick up a couple inches of lake effect snow tomorrow, but most all that's going to stay to the west. I think we see snow showers tomorrow morning, but not much of an accumulation. It's west of Kalamazoo where there can be accumulating lake effect snow. Back into the 20s tomorrow night, but as soon as Wednesday, we make it back above 40, and by Thursday and Friday, back to the 50s.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad as we approach Thanksgiving.
That's true.
So most of the snow is going to be at the bottom of the lake. So it's
right.
People who were planning on driving to Chicago tomorrow who need a heads up, perhaps.
Right, because you'd have to drive right through that lake effect snow band on your way to Chicago.
Yeah. Okay.
Final word. Oh, speaking of word, I had to give you a word of the day.
Yeah.
The word is fierce because it's a fierce change with the cold or the wind and the snow. So it's a fierce, fierce forecast, I guess I could say on Monday. But my final word is about next week. It appears as though there's going to be another blast of cold weather that comes in next week along about Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
8 days from now. And that one could be accompanied by a lot of lake effect snow.
Oh, there's something to look forward
to. Much more widespread lake effect snow next Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll touch on that in the next few days.
That's something on our radar, so to
speak.
Exactly. Thanks. Hey, have a good one, Bob.
You too, Roger. Take it easy out there this evening.
Yeah, thanks. That's good advice. Have a good one. AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson. And yes, be a little cautious on your way home. We've already had a traffic accident right near the Galesburg exit. Just talked to a listener out on the road and said traffic is backed up beyond exit 88. That's where Eaton is. And this driver was suggesting getting off at M37 and taking your way around the parking lot. That is I-94 westbound, right near Galesburg. Joining us now is Linda Vail. Linda is with the Kalamazoo County Health Department. Linda, how are you this afternoon? Oops, there we go. Are you with me now?
I am.
Hi. Well, first off, do you have your snow brush in the car?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I have my snow brush in the car. I was cleaning it out over the weekend. I realized I never took it out.
Ah, well, in Michigan, always being prepared is a good thing.
Yes.
Speaking of being prepared, we're well into the get your flu season inoculation period. How are we doing? Are people getting their shots as you would hope?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are getting their shots. It's, you know, it's always a educational effort to make sure people remember how important it is to get flu shots. I think the amount of advertising you see on road signage from, you know, like the Walgreens and places like that, that's probably pretty helpful because people are seeing it everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm. Who should get a flu shot?
Well, pretty much everybody should get a flu shot. Infants under the age, I mean, you can't give them to babies under the age of 6 months, but, you know, everybody should get a flu shot. In seasons where we have a vaccine shortage, we tend to prioritize, you know, to where you're vaccinating people who are more at risk. But, you know, times like this, it's just important for everybody to get their flu shot.
Does getting a flu shot in a youngster interfere with building up their immune system? Is there a downside to a flu shot?
None that I know of.
Okay.
You know, in the opinion of public health folks like myself.
I mean,
you know, there are definitely dissenting opinions on that, but that's in my opinion, no.
Okay. And who do you recommend the senior dosage to? What age should start getting the larger shots?
The high dose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's for folks 65 and over.
Mm-hmm.
It's the high dose vaccine.
Okay.
So that's where that starts to come in.
Now, this year there is a new vaccine that instead of protecting you from four or three virus, actually protects you from four. How common is that shot these days?
I don't think it's as common as what we call the trivalent vaccine. The quadrivalent flu vaccine is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The trivalent vaccine protects against H3N2, which was the circulating virus prior to H1N1, which is still circulating, and then the H1N1 and then influenza type B. So those are the three, kind of the three main ones that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
The quadrivalent vaccine throws in a fourth.
Okay. And so is it safe to assume that the CDC thinks the trivalent is the three most dominant flu virus we're going to see this year?
Well, I think it's probably safe to say since the quadrivalent, you know, isn't as available as the trivalent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a new four-strain version and is less available. In fact, we're out of quadrivalent here in our department. I don't get an update every day about other people's flu, you know, stock inventory, so
sure.
Vaccine inventory. So I don't know what's going out in the rest of the community. But given that, you know, flu mist itself and the high dose vaccine and the other standard vaccine are all basically the trivalent, and the quadrivalent is, you know, kind of just one of many. There's more of the trivalent available.
In the future, will we see more and more of the quadrivalent? And is that going to ultimately become the most common flu shot?
Well, it really is difficult to say, because the flu vaccine every year is really based on what is circulating.
Mm-hmm.
So right now there are two influenza A viruses circulating and there are two influenza B viruses circulating. The trivalent vaccine only covers one of the influenza type B, which is the rarer form of influenza anyway.
Okay.
So, it's hard to guess exactly what's going to happen. I mean, we were vaccinating against H3N2, you know, the one we were doing a bivalent vaccine not too many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then H1N1 came along, and we had to include H1N1 in the regular seasonal vaccine because it's circulating now. So it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen from year to year in terms of the predominant flu vaccine, because it's really based on what we see circulating.
Sure.
You know, they'll look at what's circulating this flu season and base what they're going to make available next flu season on that.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Have you had your flu shot yet this year, Linda?
Yes, I have.
And
I learned my lesson about being able to answer that question.
So I'm not the first
person. Your county health officer better be able to answer that question, yes, by gosh.
And which shot did you avail yourself of?
I had just a standard trivalent vaccine. It wasn't the high-dose vaccine. I'll admit my age a little bit here. I'm too old to get flu mist now. So it was just a standard trivalent regular dose vaccine.
If you go to get your flu shot and they don't have the high dose,
mm-hmm.
Should you not get a shot and search for the high dose, assuming you're over 65?
You know what? I'm going to pass on answering that question because I am not an MD.
Okay.
And I really hesitate to give medical advice over the phone. I think your medical provider, whoever is giving you your flu shot, should make a determination on what's best for you. And whether that is there is a shortage of quadrivalent vaccine and you're better having a trivalent, or excuse me, there's a shortage of high dose and you're better off having something than nothing, or whether or not they're going to be able to get that high dose vaccine fairly, you know, they're going to have to make that call.
Too many variables.
Yeah, many variables for me to give an answer on that one.
And
if you were to tell me, you know, the high dose vaccine is completely all gone for the season, should I just not get a flu vaccine, or because there's no high dose, or get one of the others? Then of course you're going to be better off getting one of the others. But a medical provider is going to have to answer that question based on the circumstances.
Okay. And then one last question. Do you have at your fingertips any flu shot clinics that are taking place this week you could direct people to? And I didn't give you time to prepare for this, so if the answer is you don't have it at your fingertips, we'll certainly understand.
I don't have that at my fingertips because we are not doing clinics out in the community ourselves right now.
Okay.
So we are taking walk-ins here at the health department for adults Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. You can walk in and get a flu shot right here.
Okay.
Children, we do by appointments.
Okay.
And because we're not doing any clinics, I don't have at my fingertips whether, you know, visiting nurses or some of the other agencies in town that tend to do flu clinics, or, you know, what their schedule is for those. I'd have to look it up on their website.
Okay. And so if you're looking for a clinic, visiting nurse website, that would be a reasonable choice?
That would be a good one. They do quite a number. They do a lot of flu shots in Kalamazoo, so I would say that would be a good place to look. Borges Health is another place to look. So actually, VNA is part of Borges Health. So that would be a good place to look.
Okay.
Bronson probably has some going on as well. It's just,
I
don't have that information at my hands.
And then, Linda, one last question before I let you go. Are we seeing much flu yet this year?
No, we are not seeing a lot of flu yet this year. It's kind of just starting. I think the first cases in Michigan were actually lab confirmed over on the east side of the state within the last few weeks. We have not seen a lab confirmed case of the flu here in Kalamazoo yet. That doesn't mean we haven't had cases of the flu in Kalamazoo.
Sure.
Because everybody, they don't send me. A lot of people have the flu and stay at home and don't even go to the doctor.
Right.
Some people, you know, go to the doctor and, you know, you've got the flu. They don't run necessarily a lab test on it. So I think we're starting to see the beginning of flu season here in Michigan.
And with that happening, getting your flu shot, an important thing to put on your agenda.
Most definitely, because it takes about 2 weeks for that to settle in and protect you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Bye.
Linda Vail from the Kalamazoo County Health Department. If you haven't gotten your flu shot yet this year, it's time. As she said, it takes 2 weeks to get fired up in your system, and flu season is just starting. 33 degrees, snowing in Kalamazoo. We'll give you the full forecast right after this. .358 at 590 WKZO. 32 now in Kalamazoo. The temperature continues to decline. And what's going on the roads there, Michael?
Well, I just had a tipster call and wanted to pass the word along that it's snowing pretty hard out in South Haven. He wanted me to actually let you know that, and that it's snowing pretty steadily. Can't see very far out on the lake. And it's starting to accumulate. And the tipster also wanted me to tell everybody to turn on their lights while driving.
That's a good point. And not wait till it gets dark.
Yeah, that's right.
Just the fact it's snowing now is a reason to turn your headlights on, especially if you drive a white car. But, be a little careful out there on the roads. We're right at 32. In the not-too-distant future, we're going to see some overpasses get slippery, and we don't want to spend the rest of the afternoon talking about traffic tie-ups. So be a little careful out there, folks. Keep your wits about you as you head home.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's News from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.